The devastating mistakes I could never forget. I thought if nobody knew, they would think I'm okay. But what I kept in the dark, you brought into the day.
And welcome, Columbia Grove family. We are glad to have you here this Sunday morning, April 19th, 10 o'clock. And, my name's Andrew, if we haven't met yet. And thanks, Karen and Julia, for leading in that song. It's our prayer that really during this very unusual season where we're experiencing all sorts of things that we wouldn't normally experience and maybe even doing some things we wouldn't normally do, that you are nonetheless flourishing in your faith. As I've said in other weeks, the number one goal of this season for us, at least for me, is that we would stay connected to each other and that we would stay connected to Jesus. And so that's even part of how we plan for Sunday mornings here, where this part of the service is totally live. We have some portions that are pre-recorded, so we can do some of the stuff like you've already seen, where we have these amazing musicians that are all contributing and participating by sending in videos from their cell phones, and we're just merging them together and turning that into songs. So I hope you are enjoying some of that. But later in the service, we are going to be celebrating the Sacrament of Holy Communion together. So I would invite you to find some bread of some sort and some sort of juice of some sort and be ready for that in a little bit. We are, of course, streaming this on Facebook Live, and because we're streaming, there can be the challenges I know that some of you have with having some drop signal. Thanks for being patient with that. We've done everything from our end that we can. I think there's just a zillion people on Facebook right now, and so that does mean that from time to time, those signals get dropped. If you totally lose the signal, we will have the service up on YouTube, let's see, about an hour and a half after it ends, basically as long as it takes for us to upload it to YouTube. So you can kind of see maybe the parts that got missed if something got dropped. But again, the reason why we're doing it on Facebook Live and we're doing at least this part of the service just in... just totally and completely live, is because we want there to be a real community here. This is an opportunity for us to gather. Now, it's a beautiful weekend, and I hope you get plenty of opportunity to go outside, enjoy your backyard, maybe go for a hike somewhere in one of the places around here, beautiful spots around here that are still open for hiking. But thank you so much for being here. Like I said, this is just... the couch in Thompson's living room to your couch, and I'm imagining that many of you are just worshiping from home. Maybe you're on a TV, maybe you're on an iPad, maybe it's on a little cell phone. You're sitting on the couch, you're in a chair, you're somewhere. First of all, just thank you. Thanks for stopping the scroll and taking some time to gather with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and taking some time to put your attention on Jesus. So I would encourage you to interact with the comments. Let us know that you're here. Like each other's comments, each other's greetings, each other's prayer requests and praise items throughout the service. And also invite you to share the service. So maybe it's start a watch party in a little bit, or just even share it right now so that some of your friends can see it. Like I said, we're just here in our living room. So this is, there's plenty of unscripted bits. I've got a cat that is trying to get into the scene here. And somehow he knows exactly where he is not supposed to be and, finds his way there. If you hear any barking, that means that somebody is walking down Cherry Street, and our little Chiweeny Piper is in the window, surveying the neighborhood. But anyways, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, thanks for being a part of this. And I'm glad that we can be worshiping together. So I want to introduce you to some of the other folks that are part of the service. Maybe we could put our prayer numbers up if you'd like to pray with somebody this morning. Please call one of the numbers on the screen here. And we also have some of our pastoral staff is all online and interacting with the comments. So want to introduce them. And they're also going to be introducing some of the key announcements for the week. So thanks, team.
Hi, everyone. Pastor Paul. Actually, that's now interim associate Pastor Paul. One of the many hats I wear here, besides being in charge of the volunteers, the committees, the teams, is I also oversee the finances. I just want to say thank you from the finance team for your generous support during this coronavirus time. One of the things I'd like to challenge you with, for those of you who are getting the stimulus check and can't afford it, that you don't need it for your rent or your food or the basics for your family, to actually tithe that 10% of your stimulus to the church. That would be a great blessing to the church and to the different ministries that we serve. Thanks for your continued support. If you need offering envelopes, please let the church office know. Just email us at office@columbiagrove.org. We'll be happy to get you out some offering envelopes. You can also use the push pay to send in your offerings as well. Thank you for support. Thank you for supporting the food bank. And thank you for just your support at Columbia Grove. Love like Jesus.
Hi, my name is Gayla Tofton, and I am the Children's and Seniors Pastor here at Columbia Grove Covenant Church. I would ask that you remember our seniors in assisted living in your prayers, as they are not able to have family and friends visiting them, and they are beginning to feel quite lonely. Also, did you know we have a Facebook page just for kids and their parents? It is facebook.com www.columbiagrovekids.org/ColumbiaGroveKids/. We want to support you and your family during this hard season in any way we can, so join us on Facebook for some fun activities and stories. Again, I can't wait to see you all face to face, and I am praying that you will have a blessed week.
Hey, my name's Nick Edmonds, and I am the Director of Student Ministries and Administration. Hey, we haven't been able to meet for youth group for quite some time, but we have found a way around that. On Thursdays at 6:30, we are doing Bible trivia and pop culture trivia. There will be prizes and all sorts of fun things. So, if you have a 6th through 12th grader, we would love to have them. Please send your contact information to nedmonds@columbiagrove.org, and we will send you a link that your child can join in every single week and take part of that. We would love to make them part of the Impact Student Ministries family. Also, if you are an adult, right, we would love to contact with you and make you a more permanent part of our family as well. So please go to the I'm New page at columbiagrove.org and fill that out. That way we can keep in contact. We'll even make a $5 donation to the charity of your choice in your honor. Also, every time you check in, so if you're watching it on a Sunday, if you're watching us, go to check in, click it, say Columbia Grove. We will trigger a small donation to help fight COVID-19. Let's get rid of this thing. It's ridiculous. Connection groups right around the corner, and we would like you to be part of that as well. This helps you become a more stronger part of our family, and it helps us just have more people that we can love like Jesus with. So please go to the connection groups page, fill out all your contact information, and we will send you information on all the connection groups that we are offering and the best one that you can join. So we'd love to have you guys there.
Thanks, team. So before we move into a more extended time of worship and then prayer, I wanted us to take a moment just to ready our hearts for that. I don't know what kind of week you've had. I'm assuming there's been some things that have been good and some things that have been hard. My prayer this morning is that we would together turn our attention to God. And so one of the Psalms that has been on my heart this week is Psalm 46:10. And it simply says this: "Be still and know that I am God." So before we move into a time of praise, and I would invite you even during, you know, as the songs are playing, encourage you to sing along, encourage you to leave a praise phrase in the comments. Or if you have a prayer request, to share that and let others pray with you, or let our prayer team pray with you. But before we move into that, just take a moment and, you know, if there's other tabs open on your computer, will you close them down? And let's just take a moment and pray and be still before the Lord. God, thank you that you meet us. That you meet us right where we are, in our living rooms, in the midst of our joys, in the midst of our doubts. Thank you for the reminders of springtime that you're doing new things all the time. And Lord, we pray that you would do new things in us, that you would bring refreshment to those places that are dry, that you would bring encouragement to those places that are discouraged, that you would bring a sense of your peace and protection and provision to those places where it feels like there is lack. And Lord, that you would bring joy to the surface over those things that that are good in our lives today. Lord, we want to be still and know that you are God. Thank you for walking with us every day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, let's join together in worship. Thanks, Dave and Karen and Linda and Eric, Elizabeth, James, and Manny for leading us in these songs.
Ah. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry here, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. They're singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me
sing out hallelujah. shout it. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. Oh, shout it. Go on and scream it from the
Pray with me, please. In this time of desperation, when all we seem to know is uncertainty and separation, remind us that you have not forsaken us, that you are still near. As the world watched you hanging on a cross, the feeling was that you had finally lost control. But you had a plan to complete. And as hopeless as that situation appeared to be, everything was proceeding according to your plan. Lord, you remain in control, even today. In the midst of the chaos and uncertainty in our lives, remind us that your promises are true and that your plan is good. Some of us feel like we are buried in a tomb of desperation, due to broken relationships, unremitting fear, deep depression, or loss of hope. Roll the stone from our tombs and shine your light into our lives once again. Shout the command to come forth and live. Others of us are waiting in a locked room, uncertain what the future holds, fearful of what the world outside holds for us. Lord, we ask you to once again appear in our locked rooms. We long to hear your words, "Peace be with you," for we know that you are indeed the giver of true peace. Open our eyes once again to see you standing in our midst, even in this time of physical separation. Lord, we lift up Jim, who is currently battling infection with the coronavirus. We pray that he may respond well to treatment. Give his family peace and understanding, we pray. We lift up Jeremy as he recovers from major cardiovascular surgery. We pray for a speedy recovery, especially for organ function that may have been compromised. Be with his family during this recovery process. We lift up Charlie as he mourns the loss of his brother Tommy. Loss of a loved one is always difficult, as you well know, Lord, but it is especially difficult this time when we must grieve alone, separated from family and friends. We lift up the healthcare workers and first responders who are actively working with coronavirus patients. We especially lift up the staff of Confluence Health, including members of Columbia Grove. Keep them safe during this time, we pray. We lift up families with children at home whose routine has been so disrupted by this pandemic. We pray that this may be a time when families may draw close to one another. We lift up those who are unemployed or underemployed at this time. Give them a sense of hope for the future. Help everyone to use this time to draw closer to you. Lord, we lift up marriages to you. Navigating through this situation can create so much stress on relationships. We pray that you may use this time to actually strengthen bonds and renew love in struggling relationships. Help us to see one another as you see us. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Be with small businesses during this uncertain time. We pray that they may find pathways to keep their businesses intact until such a time that they can fully reopen. Protect and guide their workers, we pray. We lift up the elderly and shut-ins during this time. Help them with the loneliness that comes from increased isolation. Ease the fear that comes from the nature of the coronavirus. Protect them, we pray. Be with our pastoral staff as they minister during this time of physical separation. Help them to keep their focus on you and your work. Renew their spirits and protect them from the enemy, we pray. Lord, at this time when all the world seems broken, when the shadows seem to be deepening, when darkness and despair cover the land, remind us of the truth of your resurrection, that you are indeed alive, and because you live, we can face our current situation with unflinching hope. Lord, we long for the day when you will make all things new, when we ourselves will behold your glorious face. Amen.
Thanks, John, for leading us. I just love hearing your heart. Now we want to turn our attention to God's Word. We are in a season, of course, of uncertainty, a season where we are all trying new things, where we're experiencing things that we really didn't foresee, and probably enduring some things that we didn't think we would have to endure. And I'm reminded during this time, like, of how trees in a storm, you know, the trees that will not only survive a storm, but thrive in the midst of a storm, are the trees that have deep roots. And so I wanted us in this season to actually go into a fairly meaty topic. And so I'm going to try some new things this morning that hopefully will allow me to communicate in some ways that are just a little bit difficult to do just from a couch. So I tried something different this week, and there's a few things that are pre-recorded with the message. But I'd love to hear your feedback as we... all try some new things together. So today we're going to start a series in the Apostles' Creed. So let's go there together. The resurrection changed everything. As the disciples saw the abundant evidence of Jesus being raised from the dead, physical evidence. Touch me and see that I'm no ghost. Look at my hands and feet. Put your hand in my side. Evidence over many days, ultimately seen by hundreds of people, they became thoroughly convinced. And it changed how they lived. It also validated all the claims that Jesus had made earlier in his life. Claims like how he was the way and the truth and the life, and how no one comes to the Father except by him. Claims about how his life would be the atoning sacrifice for human sin. How through his death, his giving his life on our behalf, that we would be made right with God. This was a message that started a movement. And in addition to the evidence of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, filling the early church with
boldness and clarity of thought, so they understood what Jesus said, and they understood the Old Testament passages and prophecies that foretold of his life and his death and his rising again, and pouring gifts into the church. So people were empowered with spiritual gifts for service of one another, and spiritual gifts that would help to expand the mission of the church and carry its message to the furthest corners of the earth. And as the church spread and the number of followers of Jesus increased, there became with that a need for additional clarity. And that's where the creeds come in. Now, we do see creedal statements in the scriptures, like when Jesus was asked in Matthew 22, Mark 12, or Luke 10 about what the greatest commandment is. Jesus gave a bit of a creedal statement. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." So Jesus gave us these statements to help us understand the totality of the teaching of Scripture. We also see creedal statements in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as Paul is reminding the church like what the church is really all about. Let's just take a look at that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So the Bible has these kind of summary statements within it that help us to make sense of the big ideas of Scripture. And the Creed is kind of like that. Now, there are some legends about how the Apostles' Creed was made because, you know, each of the 12 apostles each added a line. That's probably just legend. At least we have no historical evidence to believe that that's true. But what we do know is true is that as early as the 2nd century, the early church was using the Apostles' Creed in worship. It was something that people were saying individually, something that people were saying together as part of how they understood their faith. Now, the Creed is not a replacement to the Bible. It's not an addition to the Bible. But the Creed can nonetheless help us better understand the Bible, because it provides at least three things. First, it provides clarity. It helps us to understand what the big ideas, the most important ideas of the Scriptures are. It helps us to figure out where the boundary lines are for the faith, and helps us to differentiate between those ideas that are just honest differences of opinion between Jesus-loving, Bible-trusting Christians, and what ideas are truly heresy, what ideas are truly unbiblical, dangerous to the faith, because those ideas are out there. So it provides clarity, and we'll come back to that in a moment. It also helps to provide balance. Because, see, all of us have a tendency to gravitate towards those teachings and ideas that, you know, we kind of already like, or they make us feel good. But like any unbalanced diet, if we don't understand the totality of faith, we can end up in some places where we're actually kind of unhealthy. It's a little bit like if you were to eat nothing but carbs and no protein, you would be unhealthy. Or if you eat nothing but protein and no carbs, eventually, yeah, you're going to get unhealthy. Balance is helpful. Or you could think about it in this kind of way. Like, if you've ever been to a gym, you see somebody that's only working on their upper body and not their lower body. They kind of look like an upside down pear, you know, like just huge up top and just little tiny toothpicks, you know, for legs. They're not actually as strong as they think they are, or even as strong as they appear, because they're not balanced. Or you could imagine maybe somebody that's lifting weights only with one arm, but never the other. You got one big, well, I'm not a good example of any of that, but one big bulging bicep on one side and malnourished, scrawny, like this, on the other side. Unbalanced. But that's often how we live our faith, especially because we live in such a biblically illiterate culture, even a biblically illiterate culture within the church. So the Creed can help to draw our attention to those areas of faith that we might otherwise overlook. Thirdly, the Creed helps us to understand the larger community that we're part of. One of the lines in the Creed is the idea of, I believe in the communion of saints. It's helpful for us to remember that the faith that we live now is a faith that has been passed down to us through the generations. That for 1900 years, Christians have been saying the words of the Apostles' Creed together as a way of helping them and us to understand who they are. Just think about that. I mean, we're going through a pandemic, and this is one of the most trying times for many of us, at least, of our lives. It's something that is very, very unusual. But the church has been around a long time. And in the last 1900 years, just think for a moment of all of the famines, droughts, pandemics, and wars that our brothers and sisters of faith have endured before us. The Creed helps us to find deeper roots than just our own experience and just what's going on in the world around us right now, as important as all those things are. The Creed helps us to be aware of that larger community of faith throughout history and honestly also throughout the world. That each of us, whatever denomination we're a part of, we are one small part of God's enormous movement in the world. It helps us to see our small part in the big thing that God is doing. That's why, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be taking a closer look at the Apostles' Creed, and I just want to urge you, challenge you to go deep with this, okay? Because, see, this is a trying time, and it can be really tempting to just kind of hunker down and say, God, I am just trying to get through this. Lord, help me survive. And while those prayers are true, and while that attitude is understandable, think about this. During this season, where life is kind of disrupted and things are kind of uncertain, we're having to do things like, you know, I'm preaching to a camera instead of a congregation right now. We're all experiencing new things and different things. Is that rather than just survive in your faith, this could be a season where you actually thrive, where you don't just get by, but you actually go deep. So let's do that together. So let's hear the words of the Apostles' Creed in full, and then let's take a look at the first big idea that it contains and go a whole lot deeper into that.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Creed starts with this sentence: I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You think about it, every phrase within that sentence is packed with meaning. So let's start with the first two words. I believe. It reminds us that our faith is personal. I mean, yes, it's corporate. Yes, we don't live out our faith alone. We live it out in community. But it starts with a personal decision. It starts with a personal choice. I remember when I was 13 years old, I'd been raised in the church in my whole life. You know, I grew up going to Sunday school, even singing in the choir, you know, hearing, well, listening to pipe organs and all that kind of stuff. That was my upbringing. But it wasn't until I was 13 when somebody explained to me that I needed to have a personal relationship with Jesus that my life, my inner life, actually began to change. That Jesus wants to know me. And he wants me to know him. I believe. And then you come to that second word, believe. It doesn't say I affirm or I know, because there's a difference, isn't there, between just affirming and truly believing. Like, for example, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So belief is this foundational statement, a foundational idea of faith. It's not just affirming an idea. It's letting that idea change you. It's a difference between saying, I know I should eat less junk food, or saying, you know, where that, I mean, that phrase could mean almost anything, to I believe in eating healthy. If you believe in eating healthy, you're going to get rid of the junk food, or at least most of the junk food in your house. It's a difference between saying, I know I should exercise more. Yeah, I know I should exercise more. Or saying, I believe in exercise. Believing in exercise is getting up off the couch and going for a walk. It's doing something. It's applying it. It's like, even in the phrase, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's an integrated love. It's something that changes us from the inside out. Belief. I believe. It's personal and it's transformative. I believe. I believe in God, the Father. This half of the phrase reminds us that the God we serve isn't just transcendent. He's also personal. Our faith as Christians isn't just in an all-powerful or whatever, or just out there force, like... Nor is it the faith of the deists that would maybe believe in a God that created the world but then kind of walked away and just left us to our own devices. Instead, it points us to the same kind of understanding of God that Jesus gave to us as he was teaching in passages like Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, as he's teaching us about prayer. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That as we think of God, we need to remember that God thinks of us like children. And he asks us to think of him as our Father. That he is our Father, in fact. Now, for many Christians, that creates one of the great barriers of faith, which is why we need passages, you know, like these scriptures, and why we need things like the Apostles' Creed. Because one of our great barriers of faith often has to do with our earthly dads. Now, all of us, of course, we have fathers. Some of us had closer relationships to those fathers than others. All of us had dads that were imperfect. Now, some, they were just, they just did their honest best with what they knew. They're all imperfect. You know, we admire the good and forgive the rest. And some, I mean, maybe you, but some today, one of your great barriers of faith is that you've never really known a good earthly dad. Maybe the father you knew was cruel or harsh or unkind or just simply, like, just not even there. That you were functionally abandoned. You need to know that the God of the universe is not like that. He's a good father. He's the best father. He's the prototype of what true fatherhood really is. I believe in God, the Father. And then we move to the next phrase. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. This is important. That means that the God that we serve isn't just like the Greek gods, or what you could even think of in modern terms, a little bit like our superheroes. Our God is not like an Avenger that has these incredible powers, but those powers are honestly limited. Instead, The scriptures affirm, and the creed reminds us of this, that God is all powerful. We think of passages like Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I'm the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Or as we turn to Revelation chapter 20, and this is the, you know, this great battle between good and evil and all those things. And sometimes we get caught up into these dualistic kind of understandings of God. Dualistic understandings that are false, as if, you know, as if it's God and Satan and they're battling it out, and who knows who's gonna win. They're both pretty strong, and will Satan win this time? You know, like in the action movies. But God the Father, the God affirmed in Scripture, the God the Creed reminds us of, is a God the Father who is almighty. Like in Revelation chapter 20, as this gigantic battle is happening, as this huge buildup, all these things going on, and then an angel came down from heaven holding the keys to the abyss, and in his hand a great chain, he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. In other words, God just shows up, boom, it's over. You know, God shows up, boom, evil is eradicated. The God that we serve, the battle between good and evil that exists in the world around us is not a fair fight. Yes, evil can do a lot of damage. Evil can be a really scary thing. And right now it probably feels like there's a lot of evil out there in the world. But the God that we serve is the God who is almighty. The God who, when he chooses to intervene, can absolutely eradicate evil. And our hope, our trust, is that one day that's exactly what's going to happen. Because we serve a God who is personal and is all powerful. I believe in God the Father Almighty. The Bible begins with these words from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there is a spectrum of belief in Christianity about how old the earth is. Some would be kind of, I guess you could call them young earth creationists, that would believe that the earth is somewhere between 15 and 20,000 years old. And the act of creation happened in a literal six-day period. Others would expand that timeline a bit more and say, hey, the universe was perhaps formed billions of years ago, but the creation act on Earth happened about 20,000 years ago in a literal six-day span. Other Christians would look to integrate science in their faith in greater degrees and would view Genesis a bit more poetically. Here's a 1,000 years to the Lord is like a day. And so, you know, maybe God's being a little looser in terms of his definition of what a day is. And so creation happened perhaps even over billions of years. We don't exactly know. And I'm sure you've got an opinion. Feel free to share it. But my point is that even though there is a spectrum of belief on exactly how old the earth is, there is absolute unity. Hear me clearly. There's absolute unity on who created the earth. That you and I, we are not here just by accident. We are not the products of random chance. It's not as if you could take the fundamental building blocks of life, you know, get some carbon, you get some amino acids, stick them in a box, rattle that box around for a billion years, 100 million years, whatever, and boom, a giraffe is going to pop out. Christians believe in a creator. We believe that we came from somewhere. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. See, the Apostles' Creed also reminds us of the truth that we find in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Let's take a look at verses 15 and 16. Now, here it's talking about Jesus being involved in the act of creation, but it tells us something important about that phrase, the heavens and the earth. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. whether powers or thrones or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. That as God was creating the heavens and the earth, he was creating not only the physical world that we see, as amazing and incredible as that is. And maybe leave in the comments, if you're watching along, one of your favorite acts of creation. I mean, what do you see in nature that reminds you of the Creator? Take a moment and post that. But it's not only the physical world that God created. It's also the spiritual world, the invisible world, that the world and the things that exist around us that for us are unseen. God created that as well. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. So what does all this mean for you today? That God is real. That God is personal. That God is all powerful. That God is the Creator who created you and me and everything. My hope is that whether you're just investigating the faith or whether you, like those who have said the Apostles' Creed before you, would be able to wholeheartedly say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Wherever you are in your faith, my hope is that our time together and by looking at these scripture passages together, that it would enable you to take those next steps of trust and faith, whatever those are for you. That God sees you. He knows you. That you can give him all of your fears and anxieties and doubts and worries, that he can carry all of them. Just like he's carried the countless others who have gone before us in equally difficult times. So before we say the Apostles' Creed all together, and I would invite us to do that, even if you're at home, even if you're just on your own, you're watching on a cell phone, you're in a car, on headphones, I don't know where you are, what you're doing, but I pray that we could join in these words together. But before we do, I want to lead us in a time of prayer, and I invite you to pray with me. And during that prayer, just to take whatever that next step of faith is for you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you're real. God, we thank you that you're personal. That you're a good father to your kids. God, we thank you that you are all powerful. That you can handle every situation. That you have redeemed us from sin through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. And that, God, you are ultimately redeeming the entire world. And so, Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we thank you that you are our creator, that we're here for a purpose, by your plan. Lord, may we trust you with everything today. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again to new life, and that by placing our faith and our trust in him, that we can know that resurrection life, both right now in the things that we're facing today and in the life yet to come. So Lord, be with us this morning. Be with us every day. As we place our faith and our hope and our trust in you, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope
I hope you'll be able to stick with us through the series, and that this will be a season that we can go deep together into the Apostles' Creed. Do give me feedback on some of the different preaching formats. I'm trying new stuff too, but I'd love to hear from you. But what I was hoping we could do as we close out our time together is first for us to say the words of the Apostles' Creed together. So we're going to put some of those words on the screen, and here's what I'd invite you to do. Is that I invite you to say them out loud. Now, this is might be a little bit weird, because you're just listening, maybe on headphones, maybe you're on your cell phone, on an iPad, on a laptop computer, maybe you're projecting onto a larger screen. Maybe you're alone, maybe you're with people, but we can say these words together, and as we do, we will join with Christians around the world and across history. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to go deep into each one of the phrases. So there'll be greater understanding, I hope, for all of us on each of the phrases, including there's a phrase, it's about halfway through that I've even put in brackets. It's the most controversial part of the Apostles' Creed. So we'll be talking about that in just a few weeks. I hope you can join us for that. At least for this morning, what I invite you to do is to say it out loud together. And if there's lines that you're uncertain of, you're like, I'm not sure if I believe that, you can skip that line, at least for now. But make certain that as you do, that you join in either in upcoming Sundays and hear a little bit more about that phrase, or join me on Thursday nights. 6:30, and our groups are probably going to just be on Zoom, so that way we can have lots of interaction, and you can ask lots of questions, you can challenge me, and I mean, it'd be great. We can really go deep into this together. But let's put the words to the Apostles' Creed on the screen. We're going to say them together, and then Karen is going to lead us in a song where we're going to, or at least the chorus of the song is kind of a summary of the Apostles' Creed. So, anyways, let's say these words out loud together. And Thompson family, invite you to join me if you can. They're looking on tiny screens right now, but let's join it in together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, Karen's going to lead us in a song called I Believe, and over the next weeks, I would invite you to add your voice to the choir. So, if you look in the notes that are associated with this, there's a link, and you can get all the materials that you need to submit your video, just like some of the Thompson clan are part of the choir around this. And so, my hope is that over the next 6 weeks, that as we get to the chorus of the song, we're going to fill the screen with faces. So let your voice be part of the chorus. But let's enjoy the song together. We believe.
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you
believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
Let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptation, we believe. We believe. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, that He's coming back again. We believe.
Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. And the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud, our God would say.
Given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, that He's come back again. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, that He's coming back again. We believe.
During communion, will you put that pad on underneath? So I hope you can add your voice to the virtual choir there. And over the next few weeks, we're going to just fill the screen. We want you to be a part of this. This can be a wonderful opportunity, even from a distance, to come together as a church family, to connect with Jesus first and foremost, but to connect with one another and to encourage one another in the faith. This can be a time where our faith goes deep and where our lives can honestly thrive, even in the midst of hardship. So we wanted to spend some time this morning around the sacrament of Holy Communion. So I would invite you to get some sort of a bread and some kind of juice. It doesn't have to be, it's a funny season. It doesn't have to be exactly this, but to remember through these elements that Jesus gave His body and shed His blood. Because, friends, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. And when after he'd given thanks, He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat. This is My body, given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we remember the Lord's death until he comes again. And he is. So I'd like to lead us in a brief time of prayer. And then I would invite you to participate in communion if you're on your own. You can serve yourself, but we will be taking communion together. If you're with others right now, I invite you to serve the people around you with the words, "This is Christ's body given for you, and this is Christ's blood shed for you." But let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us this tangible reminder of your presence with us. And you give us this tangible reminder of what's been done for us. You gave your body on the cross. You shed your blood so that our sins could be forgiven. The slate of our life could be wiped clean, so that we could be in, so that we could inherit the kingdom of God, that the new life of the resurrection could be ours, both here and now and in the life to come. So Lord, would you meet us around this meal? And Lord, would you strengthen us for whatever the week ahead of us holds for us? Lord, thank you that as we commune together, even over the internet, that it's not just about Christians meeting one another, though that is true and it's important and it's powerful. It's not just about us remembering you, though that is true and it's important and it's powerful. That you yourself, by the Holy Spirit, are present with us in this meal. So we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you to serve one another. I want to invite some Thompson folks to come over, and we'll do that. And we might jump off camera a moment to make sure everyone has a chance, even those who are running computers right now. Anita, Christ's body was given for you. Christ's blood was shed for you.
Andrew, Jesus' body given for you. His blood shed for you.
Amen.
Elizabeth, Jesus' body given for you. His blood shed for you. Lord, Jesus' body given for you. Christ's blood shed for you.
That's a big piece.
Jacob, Christ's body broken for you. Christ's blood shed for you.
And then we also want to join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. And Lauren, can I call on you to, we'll put those words up on the screen. So let's pray those words out loud together as a family of faith. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive them that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So I want to lead us in a closing prayer, and then as kind of it's been one of our traditions around here, is at least I think it might be a good one as we're doing these at-home worship services, just to close with the words of the doxology. Do stay tuned. There'll be a video on one of our upcoming connection groups that Nick Edmonds is leading, and then we'll put a few closing announcements on the screen, and hope that you can join us again next Sunday. Hope that you can join us for one of our online connection groups midweek, and I hope that you can thrive in your faith as you walk with Jesus daily. Open up the Word, pray, pour out your heart to him, connect with him, and let him strengthen you. Let me just lead us in prayer, and then we'll close with singing the doxology. Lord, as we go from this place, Would you encourage us? Would you strengthen us? Would you empower us? Would you help us to live out the faith that we've inherited from those who have gone before us, those brothers and sisters who have also endured many hard seasons, that we might be able to wholeheartedly not just say with our lips, but affirm with our lives that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. So be with us as we go. Help us to walk with you each day, knowing that you walk with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks for worshiping with us today.
Hey there, Columbia Grove. It's Nick Edmonds. Hey, did you know that the Bible has several different kinds of writings? We have prophetic, such as Revelations. We have historic, which is most of the Old Testament. We have some biographical stuff, such as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's even some poems and some songs written in there. Different kinds of writings require different kinds of reading. They also require different kinds of interpretation. So how is it that we can better enrich our life if we don't understand how it is that we're supposed to read these things? Well, hopefully we can get one step closer. I am offering a connection group, and we're going to be reading through this Journey into God's Word. It's a nice, thin chapter book. This actually used to be a textbook that they taught in college, and they just condensed it into the simplest form, which is awesome because I'm a simple guy. I need simple instructions, right? This book is going to help us learn how to take the culture, the history, all of that, combine it into our reading of the Bible so that we can better understand what it is that we're reading. Okay, this group is going to be offered on Tuesday nights at 6:30 on Zoom. So you guys will be able to join in the comfort of your home, in your pajamas, however that may be, and join us. So how do you join? Here's how you're going to do it. You can either email me personally at nedmonds@columbiagrove.org, or you can go to columbiagrove.org, click connection groups, and fill out the information on there. Under the About Me section, just write, I'd like to join Nick's group, or I'd like to join the Better Understanding the Bible group. Okay, give us enough information. I will connect with you and get you guys a link. What you need to do in the meantime, till you hear back, is you need to go on Amazon. You need to buy this book, okay? This is Journey into God's Word. It is by J. Scott Duvall and J. Daniel Hayes. Okay, it's about $10 on Amazon. Order it now so that it is here. We are going to begin on the 5th, so you got plenty of time. Also, I do encourage you maybe read the first couple chapters so that when we meet up, you guys are ready to discuss. I can't wait to see how many people sign up. Let's become more biblically literate, and let's just absolutely let the Lord bless us through us better understanding His Word.